Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, good to be gathered here on Christmas Eve at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. I'm glad you came. Tonight we focus a little bit on the history, on the truth about Christmas. So what is it really about? I think you know the answer already, but I hope this is helpful to clarify some key things about this time of the year. From the time of Adam and Eve, we are aware from the Bible that all people are sinners. A huge problem. Even though sin is common, sin, even the smallest sin, even eating from the wrong tree, it broke that wonderful relationship with God, and it brought God's condemnation not only upon Adam and Eve, but upon all people. Furthermore, the Bible teaches us that no person, no matter who he is, a pastor, whoever it might be, no person can fix that problem, no person can overcome that problem, no person can earn his way into heaven or buy his way into heaven. It's impossible. So what did God do? God continued to love us sinners, and God took action. God promised to send his Son, and he is the gift that all of us need the most. He sent his Son to save us from our sins. That's what Christmas is about. That is a celebration of the very Son of God coming into the world to do that very important work. So he was born to die. For us, we were born to live. He was born to die so that in his perfect living, in his suffering, and in his dying, he would take away the sin of the world. He would make the way to heaven for all people. And now, through faith in Jesus Christ, through that relationship with him, the Christ of Christmas, God wants us to know that we are forgiven. That's what we need the most, and God has supplied it in Jesus Christ. As we think about our world today, I think much of the focus has been taken off of the babe of Bethlehem and put on Saint Nick. So I want to go through a few things tonight that might be helpful in order to help us understand where the focus really should be, but also giving Saint Nick some important recognition because he was a very important man in history. We just have to be careful we keep things in the proper perspective. First of all, before the time of conception, when it came to Saint Nick, he didn't even exist before he was conceived. When it came to Jesus, he existed with the Father before the creation of the world. So quite a difference. Thinking about Saint Nick, he did not exist until God allowed him to be conceived within his mother. The Bible says that God made the world and everything in it. From one man, he made every nation of men. When it comes to Jesus, though, again, he was with the Father even from eternity. So let's not think he came on the scene 2,000 years ago and that was Jesus. No, we have to go all the way back to before creation to understand about the Son of God. If we go to John chapter 1 and look at verses 1 and 14, that will help us understand. So in verse 1, it talks about the Word, and the Word, we will see very clearly in verse 14, is talking about the Son of God. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," again, talking about the very Son of God, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then jumping ahead to verse 14, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So again, talking about the very Son of God, he is so important, so huge, so awesome. Let's not miss that. And then going on to the conception itself. So with Saint Nick, he was conceived like any other child. But with Jesus, though, it was different. The Bible tells us that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Going back to Saint Nick, upon him being conceived, he was in the same situation as King David, as you, as me, as any other person. David said this about himself in Psalm 51. He said, I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So that would be true of Saint Nick, you, me, all people, all in the same category. But with Jesus, though, the Bible tells us that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And then the angel Gabriel said these words to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Again, quite a difference there between the two. What about their birth? Well, Saint Nick, he was a real person born in the country of Turkey around the year 300. Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem, as the Bible prophesied he would be. If we look at Micah the prophet, think how awesome God is. God knows everything. God knows, as the Bible says, he knows the end from the beginning. So about 700 years before Jesus was born, God moved Micah the prophet to write down these words. He wrote, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So through Micah, God said it would happen, that the promised Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And then, 700 years later, it did happen. God wants us to know that with all of the Bible, it's all true. At the right time, God will bring it to pass. What about the name? When Saint Nick was born, his parents gave him that name. They named him Nicholas. What about Jesus? He was named by the Almighty God himself. Thinking about Saint Nick, he was given, again, the name Nicholas, so we know him as Saint Nicholas. Sometimes we think about him as Saint Nick, or if we think about him being born around the year 300, sometimes we call him Old Saint Nick. Sometimes we even call him Santa Claus. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. With Jesus, God's the one who gave him his name. So here's God in heaven, and God sends an angel to go down and talk to Joseph and give him an important message, and in that message included the very name that Joseph should give to the child. So the angel said to Joseph, talking about Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. Regarding the name of Jesus, think about these words in Philippians chapter 2, thinking about the greatness of his name. The Bible says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then what about the topic of gifts? Well, with Saint Nick, we know from history that he was a very generous man. When it comes to Jesus, though, he didn't give gifts, but in fact, he is the gift. He is God's greatest gift to us. He is the gift we need the most. I want to share a little bit more with you about Saint Nick from this book on Stories and Traditions of Christmas. So thinking about Saint Nick, it tells us in here that he was a son of wealthy parents. Legend records that when his parents died, the young man took all the family's money and distributed it to the needy in his hometown. He then accepted the call to full-time Christian service. So sometimes we can all be a little bit on the selfish side, but he was a very, very generous young man, giving away all the wealth of the family to those who were in need. Talking about Saint Nick, he was said to have saved many lives and also was a powerful prayer warrior. So you can see he was a very selfless Christian man, trusting in Jesus Christ, helping other people, maybe even risking his life to help them, and so on. So a very wonderful man. On every anniversary of his passing, his life was commemorated with an annual feast. And then, maybe you can see this connection to today, it says that youngsters would set out food for Nicholas and straw for his donkey. Another Eastern European at least partially inspired the legend of the famed Christmas elf, it says here in the book, and that would be the Duke of Borovoy. So he was born in Bohemia in 907. So we're talking about 600 years now after St. Nick, but this man had heard of him, had heard of St. Nick. He was inspired by the things he did, so now he began to do certain things in his life. So it says on each Christmas Eve, he and his pages left the warm castle and trampled through the deep snow to distribute food and clothing to the poor. So again, they were people who cared about other people, who saw the needs of other people and took action. These are wonderful things. Wouldn't our world be a much more wonderful world if all of us were a little bit more that way? With this Duke of Borovoy, there were various stories and songs written about him, and the one you're probably familiar with would be the song Good King Wenceslas. So that's written about this particular man who lived in the 900s. As time went on, the book says that a character resembling St. Nicholas was soon invented in each of the continent's countries. In Germany, for example, the English way to speak of this man would be the Christmas man. He distributed gifts to children. In France, it was Père Noël, and he arrived each Christmas to bring special cakes, cookies, or candy. In Russia, it was Father Frost. He distributed toys in January. In England, it was Father Christmas, and he was known to have a long beard and carried a large sack filled with toys. So all these things came about from St. Nicholas, who lived back in the 300s. You might find this interesting as we jump now to America in the 1600s. It says, from the time they landed on American soil in 1620, the Puritans made it illegal to mention St. Nicholas' name. People were also not allowed to sing carols, exchange gifts, or light candles at Christmas time. More than 150 years passed before any mention of St. Nick first appeared in some American newspapers during the Christmas season. So we might say to ourselves, why would they not allow that to go on in America? What was that about? I think maybe they were a little bit wise back then, and they were afraid that if we cracked the door open a little bit for St. Nicholas, it might become such a full-blown thing that we forget about the Babe of Bethlehem. Do you think that would be possible? Could that ever happen? Probably not in a million years, right? Well, I think that's happened a little bit now here in the 21st century, hasn't it? So I'm so thrilled that you're here tonight to be able to hear a little bit about that history. And there are certainly good things there. So we should rejoice in the good things, try to emulate the good things. But we want to make sure, though, that we remember what Christmas is about. It's about the Christ. It's about the one who came to take away our sins. Going on to the topic of relationship, St. Nick, he was a man who loved Jesus and trusted in him as his Savior. What about Jesus? He was the God-man who laid down his life for St. Nick, for you and for me, for all people, because all are sinners, all need him to come and to lay down his life. The Bible tells us that none of us could live a sinless life. Oftentimes, it's easy to get the impression that good is good enough. So if we do the best we can, God's going to accept that, it's going to be fine. But the Bible doesn't teach that, though. The Bible says that God demands absolute sinless perfection. Since none of us can do that, that is why the Son of God came, and he lived that perfect life for us. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets," in other words, the Old Testament scriptures, "I have not come to abolish those, rather, I have come to fulfill them." So he didn't come to take any of them away. He came to perfectly keep them for us in our place as our substitute. And then the Bible tells us that none of us have the ability to go to God, so God had to come down, do his work, so that he could then take us to God. That's what he did. Consider what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Why did he do that? In order to bring us to God. So there was this huge dividing wall. No one could penetrate it. No one could get over it. So he came to knock down that barrier and to bring us to God. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. He came, he made the way. It's a wonderful thing. So we have so much to celebrate at Christmas. We were dead, we were lost, we had no prospects of a wonderful eternity, and now in Christ, the whole thing has been overturned. Now in Jesus Christ, we have so much to be thankful for. It's unbelievable. Let me conclude in this way. I asked the question, who is more worthy? Would it be Saint Nick or would it be Jesus when we think about where to focus our Christmas celebration? Let me go through these final statements. Saint Nick, he was a great guy. But Jesus, he is the only begotten Son of God, the only way to heaven. With Saint Nick, I believe he was a good Christian man. He tried to avoid sin in his life, but Jesus is the sinless Son of God in human flesh. Saint Nick, he gave gifts to help people with their physical needs, a very commendable thing, but Jesus, he gave his very life to fulfill our greatest need, which is for forgiveness. Saint Nick, he's someone for us to copy. As he gave gifts to help people who are needy, we should do the same. As Americans especially, we have so much stuff, and there are other people in our nation and in the world who are in such great need. I pray that God would help us to be able to figure out how to identify the ones in need and then how to get some of our stuff to them. Of course, we live in a corrupt world today, and even sometimes when we know people are in need, we're like, how do we get what we have to them? Because when it passes through other hands, it sometimes disappears. But there are some good organizations out there. We should seek out what those are and try to figure out how to disperse some of what God has given to us. So with Saint Nick, we should try to copy him in certain ways. But with Jesus, though, he is someone to trust with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the only way to heaven. Saint Nick deserves some recognition, by all means. But Jesus, he deserves our full, full devotion. Think about this awesome scene in heaven as it focuses on Jesus. It's in Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." All of that is heaped upon our Lord Jesus Christ. That gives us a glimpse of his greatness. May God help us to focus tonight and tomorrow and even our entire lives upon the babe born in Bethlehem, the one who lived for us, the one who died for us, the one who took away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for Saint Nick, who believed in Jesus and showed his love for others by helping them according to their needs. But we especially this night, we thank you for sending your Son, who put on human flesh, received the name of Jesus, lived a sinless life, received our sins and our punishment, and laid down his life to seal his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Now, sorry for our sins and trusting in Jesus, help us to rejoice in Jesus as our Savior, honor Jesus as our Lord, and go forth to kindly tell others about the Christ of Christmas. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.